If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
We are now effective today, requiring all counties to close their indoor activities, their indoor operations in the following sectors: restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms, and the shuttering of all bars. This is in every county in the state of California.
Joy, goodness, welcome to the show. So I'm so sorry, Californians. Gosh dang, you know, it's such a bummer. Why couldn't you people out there, like the nice Californians who, you know, you guys vote conservative, you're pretty conservative, why couldn't you come out to Texas? Why did all the people who vote badly, why are they the ones who have to come out? Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, 248 Pluto TV via the first. So apparently he said the way that it was described is that it's not a shutdown, or it's not a he's not turning off the switch, he's dimming the lights. That's the way it was described. Which is a bunch of bulls. You know, that's a bunch of garbage. That is absolutely a bunch of garbage. We're just dimming the switch. We're not shutting the lights off. You know, you're dimming the switch and then you're going to get that annoying little that high pitched that happens because it's a switch that's not supposed to be dimmed. Right? Or you don't have like the correct sort of bulb in there, because that's what's happening right now. Of course, you would have to have a light bulb anyway, which I don't think Newsom does. So the pausing or dimming of the switch in California, they're closing again, what, like the restaurants, the gyms, a whole bunch of stuff. Are there schools even going to reopen?
Because it's indoor activity that he had a problem with.
Yeah. Are the schools going to reopen?
No.
Oh, man. Nope. He's going to get beaten up by moms. That man is going to get the crap beat out of him by women with lots of children at home. That's what's going to happen. I have friends in California who have elementary school children, and they always start everything off with, I love my kids. And you can say, you know it's coming. But I love my kids. But, I mean, I really do love them. And they always follow up with that. I'm like, no, I know where you are. I know exactly where you are. They love their children, but also, and it's not that, you know, people need a daycare. It's not that people, you know, they want to go back to work and they need somebody to have their kids all day. Kids need to learn. They need education, because this is how idiocracy starts. Okay. You shut everything down. You don't have people in schools. You don't have kids in schools. Kids get dumb. And then the next thing you know, we're all drinking Brondo. That's what's happening. It's what plants crave. That's how it's going to start. We're going to end up with a doctor like the one in Idiocracy because we kept kids home for too long. And I am fascinated that everybody is now no one's asking questions about socialization where it concerns homeschooling. Now everybody gets it. They're like, oh, yeah, we get it now, you guys. Yeah, look at it. You're homeschooling. You homeschooled and you like didn't turn into a hippie or like a fundamentalist or anything like that. I mean, see, you can do it. So I really feel bad for all these kids who, I feel bad for the kids I do. Although my youngest son is super excited that he doesn't want to go back to school. And I think he secretly is hoping for a lockdown to continue, which I'm like, I'll ground you. I will physically ground you myself somehow. So looks like, I don't know why they're going to shut down. There's no scientific basis to sustain to push for another lockdown. This is a frillion times percent political. There's no other way to look at this. And so the reclosure of indoor dining, limits on church services, salons, gyms, stricter measures. And he says the virus isn't going to go away anytime soon. Newsflash, it's never going to go away. Ever. You know how like the bubonic plague never went away? There's a damn squirrel in Texas that has it.
Yeah.
A squirrel in Texas that has the plague. Sidebar.
One that they know of.
Does everyone understand now why I hate them? I've never apologized for it. I've had a rage mob come at me because I joked about hanging them outside in my yard by my garden, like people did to the pirates back in the day to warn the pirates. They're tree rats. That's all they are. They're tree rats. They could take on a New York rat and kill it. They're crazy. Now do you understand why I do not like them? One threw a nut at me one time. Did I tell you that? I swear to you, it was sitting on a branch above the sidewalk. I was on the phone with my mom one day. This is a couple of years ago. Threw, pinged me right in the head with an acorn.
Whoa.
I looked up at it, and it looked at me, and it gave me the finger. Okay, it didn't do that, but it did throw a nut at my head. And I swear, it was like, come at me. If it could talk, it would have said that. So there's a squirrel that has the bubonic plague. So no, you're not going to get the virus to go away because we never got the plague to go away. And the bubonic plague is like from the days of yore. So that's still here. You're never going to get this to go away, even with the vaccines. So you have to adapt. That's what you have to do. Adapt. So I have a story that I'm going to get into. Actually, you know what? I may do it now. As it relates to the numbers, the reporting of the numbers, because so many people have been just so, they question legitimately the numbers that certain states are using to figure this stuff out. Let me share this. This one from Florida. And this is from a journalist there, Fox 35. Florida's positivity rate is skewed. Fox 35 went through all of the virus test reports, and they found many clinics reporting 100% positivity. Orlando Health finally admitted that their number was wrong, saying, now, hold on to something, saying that it shows 98% positive, but it's actually 9.4%.
Whoa.
Let me share this with you. I want people to understand why reasonable people are being pushed to levels of suspicion never seen before in reasonable people. And here's why. The story says the Florida Department of Health released its daily coronavirus testing report showing a statewide positivity rate of 11%. But Fox 35 quickly noticed some shocking rates. So they looked at it. They said that that the testing was showing a statewide positivity rate of 11%. But they said that countless labs reported a 100% positivity rate, which meant that every single person tested was positive. Other labs had very high positivity rates as well. They said they wrote that Fox 35 found testing sites like CentraCare reported that 83 people were tested and all tested positive. Then NCF Diagnostics reported 88% of its tests were positive. So how could that be? So they looked at the numbers and they contacted every local location mentioned in the report because that's journalism. Mm-hmm. This is journalism. So the report showed that Orlando Health had a 98% positivity rate. But when they contacted them, when Fox 35 contacted them, they confirmed the errors in the report. It was only 9.4%, not 98%.
Okay.
First off, there's a decimal that's misplaced and also the four. That's kind of a big deal. Oh, no, we didn't mean 98%. We meant 9. That's huge. The report also showed that Orlando, their Veterans Medical Center, they had a positivity rate of 76%. Are you ready for this one? So when Fox 35 called them on Tuesday, this morning, they said that, no, that actually doesn't reflect our numbers, and the positivity rate is actually 6%.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is really different from 76.
Yes.
76 minus 6, that's a 70-point gap. Like, states shut down for this stuff. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they said that the other labs, they're still waiting for the other labs from the Florida Department of Health that submitted to this report to explain how was this, because this is an astronomical error. How did you make this error? Because guess what? When states are making the determination to shut down, guess what numbers they look at? This stuff. When you have national headlines going after Ron DeSantis because they're absolutely balls to the wall terrified of this guy running for governor or running for president in 2024, guess what they use to smear him? This kind of stuff. Exactly. So this is huge. This is pushing reasonable people to be suspicious of everything that you're telling them. This plus the line about the masks. Can we stop shaming people? Because I see these memes go around saying, well, if someone's wearing a mask, take this into consideration. Maybe they had the virus. Maybe they live with someone who is immune, their immune system is compromised. Okay, well, when you see someone who isn't wearing one, maybe they can't breathe with it on. But also, maybe it's because they're distrustful because of crap like this. See? So the other thing that's amazing to me is Andrew Cuomo, Audio Soundbite 4, has decided to blast the president on the Rona response. Just a reminder, he is the governor of New York, which has the worst fatality rate in the United States. It is like Wuhan 2.0. Listen.
You had to get the virus down, and we did that, and it wasn't easy. But look, long term, it turned out better. We've been open now for about 2 months as a state, and we have the infection rate way down low. And it was never going to work, what the president said. It was never going to work to deny it, hope that it was magically going to disappear, or have all these states reopening without following any science whatsoever.
Did we all fall down and hit our heads and we're out like for a long time? Because did we see, we either missed something or he's just pulling rope out of his butt. I don't know. Why is he just trolling at this point?
Yeah.
Has the highest fatality rate in the United States, had the highest nursing home fatality rate in the United States. In fact, their nursing home fatality rate drove over like 3/4 of the country's fatality rate. That's bad. Why are people patting this guy on the back? Why does he get to go on his brother's show on CNN and they like wave around giant Q-tips? Like, what's up with that? No hard questions.
And that hospital ship was turned away.
Yeah, we don't need it anymore. Thanks. How many people did they treat? They had like a ton of beds.
On the boat?
Yeah, like a handful.
Yeah, like maybe four.
And then, and this was after he was like, Trump, you better send some help. And then when he didn't have any ventilators, he was, Trump isn't going to give us any ventilators. And then a reporter goes, don't you have some, like a ton of them in a warehouse? Aren't you stockpiling them? Well, that's not stockpiling. They're sitting there in a warehouse and we have them, yes.
Which is stockpiling,
right? Stockpiling. So we have, I got a lot for you. Let me run down some things because we're going to talk about the fall school year. They're saying that it's going to be on August 18th, at least in LA, but that kids aren't going to be on campus. Also, the backlash. Is it beginning? Because somebody started a GoFundMe for Goya Foods and they've raised a crap ton of money. Hey, guess what? Guess who ordered some more seasoning?
Yeah.
Me, for a super seasoned experience.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I told my kids, I'm like, it's just going to be covered in it. Like it's going to be so seasoned. My youngest is not fluent in Spanish. My oldest is really good. I'm like, our youngest is going to be fluent. It's going to be so good. His food's going to be so seasoned, right? We're going to have like the best chimichurri. They have olive oil. I could go on and on. I didn't know like the olive oil that they had, like for chimichurri. I didn't know that.
Right.
Why didn't any of you people tell me this? You're half Hispanic. Were you keeping it for yourself? Why didn't you tell me any of this? This is like amazing. I feel like I like stumbled on a treasure chest. Okay. Anyway, so we'll get into that. The CDC director wants everyone to wear a mask for 6 weeks. You can physically come and hold it over my face if you want. Also, find someone who loves you like the NBA loves communist China. We'll discuss that as well. We'll get into some cancel culture because if you're white and you have dreadlocks, you better shave your head now. For real. I'm not even joking. Like, that's a thing now. So we got all of that and tons other stuff. And Tommy Tuberville blocked me for some reason, and I don't know why. I literally went to his Twitter account today because they're having the runoff, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was just going to say, oh, I can't. Well, what's up?
What did you
do? I don't know. I've literally never tweeted him. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Soft Chews when you purchase two. danasbeats.com.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So I just saw this headline. Hawaii is extending their quarantine through August. So if you were like, I'm thinking about going to Hawaii. Nope, not going to happen. It's closed. They're closed till at least until September 1st, saying the outbreaks and surges on the mainland. Even if you test negative, doesn't matter. You get quarantined. So until September 1st. Wow. Elon Musk is now worth more than Warren Buffett as Tesla's stock continues to break records. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is now the seventh richest person in the world, surpassing Warren Buffett, which I am pleased with. And he's worth about $70.5 billion. He's got $1 billion more than Buffett because Tesla's stock hit an all-time high. I think I'm going to get a Tesla, actually. I'm thinking about it, yeah. Legitimately thinking about it, because the more, like, every time he says something libertarianish or capitalistic, I'm like, what? I'm going to go get your car. I need to go get it. I'm going to put a bell on it, though, because they terrify the hell out of me. They're so quiet. They roll up on you like a French burglar, right? Like, I don't know why French, but you know what I'm saying. Judge Amy Berman Jackson, sidebar. Her name sounds like she's a co-writer for Gilmore Girls. Judge Amy Berman Jackson wants to see President Trump's executive order commuting Stone's sentence. And I want $1 million. Doesn't look like I'm going to get that, huh? I don't think so. South Africa returns their ban on alcohol sales as the coronavirus surges. So they're returning to their alcohol ban to free up hospital space. Like, what? How much liquor were people drinking over there that they need to free up hospital space? I mean, it sounds like it's a bad idea to do this right now. Just saying. And a Massachusetts cultural site is going to be renamed to be more inclusive. We'll have that coming up in Cancel Culture. Stick with us.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And we should be dealing with the racism that is in our country, to which the president speaks to. Because he has a base of supporters who are very anti-immigrant and white supremacists.
Oh?
What?
Who the hell just, like, says stuff like this? Well, he has a base of people that love killing puppies and just kicking ducks and stuff and knocking birds' nests out of trees. That's what the base does.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. I don't know whose base does that. Maisie Hirono's, I hear. Sources say. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook. And really quickly, let me pull this up. I put it somewhere so I could access it easily. And you know what happened? I ended up losing it. So I'm just going to start randomly playing this in certain places. I am in love with this video. If you ever met my mom, this is what she sounds like when she laughs.
You can barely hear it.
That's what it sounds like. Sort of like Phyllis Diller in a way, you know?
It is.
What's so funny? It's so, I love it.
That is an actual duck.
It's a
for
duck.
People who don't know, that's a duck.
No, don't tell them that.
That's a duck.
I'm pretty sure my mom dubbed this video. She dubbed a duck. I'm just saying. I know that was funny, wasn't it? Sorry. Every time I think I say something funny, I'm gonna play
that's
that.
The show's new laugh track.
It is. Like but it. Can we have a lot of them, though? I want a bunch of these ducks.
Yeah.
Because it's always fun with more.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you can always...
Through audio production, we can make that happen.
It's through the magic of audio. God bless America. Yeah, who says stuff like that? Well, you know, I think his base are people who... they tried to blot out the sun, and they killed Galileo. I mean, that's who they are. This is boring. Are you guys bored by that? I'm bored by... I've been called every name in the book for so long, I'm bored now. Dazzle me with something new.
Did you watch that segment, by the way? Because I watched that segment, and the look on her face was she also
was
felt
bored?
Tired and bored about her narrative.
Well, she's got to be herself
right. Every
day. Imagine you wake up and you're like, I've got to be boring Maisie. The coolest thing about her is that there was a cartoon, I think, that was on PBS that was also named that for a short period of time. It came on after that whiny Canadian kid, the bald one, Caillou. him. Gosh. Like the he's like the modern day like millennial, except for Steve and Rachel. Well, you guys are excused from this. And everyone who's conservative listening. He's clearly an Antifa member. It's what he grew up to be. So imagine being her. Find somebody who loves you like the NBA loves communist China. Right? Have you guys heard the latest with us? So the NBA store, you can get customized jerseys. And it was almost like the NBA was trying to figure out, because they love them, some communist China, right? And in keeping with league policy, they said that they're not permitting fans to order custom jerseys with the phrase "Free Hong Kong" printed on the back. That is one of the many phrases banned under the NBA's New Jersey policy, which allows players to display certain political message, such as Black Lives Matter, but prohibits messages critical of the Chinese regime. Has anyone tried to do anything with regards to Winnie the Pooh? I was curious. So here are some of the phrases that you can say, but you can't say Free Hong Kong. You can put Uyghurs lie, enslave Tibet, in Taiwan, cancel Israel, Z for life, ban gypsies, beware of Jews, abolish cops, defund police, F Hong Kong. You can write that. You can have that on your jersey, right?
What?
Mm-hmm. What if you wrote it backwards? Kong Hong free. Has anybody tried that? I swear to you, if I could purchase, I would do that. What about Kong Hong free, right? Just do it backwards. And also because it's funny. But also it's backwards. See?
We've cut 15 also. Did you hear this?
Yes, play it. Play, do that.
So just to be clear, I could not get a jersey that said Free Hong Kong, but I can get one that says Kill Cops on the back of it.
Yes, sir, you can get that one.
That
oh.
Is telling.
What about Z Go to Hell? You do that one? I'm going to try. I really want to find out how far I can push this. I want to go and I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to look and just see. So if we get a weird jersey, if I just come in here oddly, I'll wear it backwards. If I end up wearing like a weird jersey in here one day, you're going to know why that happened. And I'm not even into NBA. I like college ball, but I'm not even in NBA. But at some point you have to make a decision about this stuff, about where your money's going. You know, I've been crazy about this. My new obsession. And every now and then, because I have little weird tics, one of them is the germophobia. Like I cannot touch a door handle. If I touch a door handle, I have to go run my hands under scalding hot water, and then my fingers break out in eczema. It's bad. It's a weird thing. But I also am now obsessed. This is my new thing with finding out where something is made, and if I want it, I have to find out whether or not it was made in China, because they think that you have to put your money behind your beliefs. So case in point, this is how crazy it is. Okay. I needed new drinking glasses because in our entire marriage, we've purchased like maybe 8 or 12 drinking glasses, like twice, nothing fancy. And obviously when you live in a home of people and there are children here, things break. And the glasses were kind of, you know, they weren't very heavy glasses. So I had all these like mixed and matched different sized odds and ends. And I'm like, okay, I got mad one day because I couldn't find anything to get my Isodian. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm going to order drinking glasses, but I have to find out where they're made. Like it was like that Portlandia episode when the couple went to the restaurant and they were wanting to know if the chicken they were going to devour was a happy chicken and had friends. I was like that times 11. Okay, I need to know, were the people who made the glasses, are they happy? Do they have friends? Like, what are their Christmas cards like? Do they send Christmas cards? Do they celebrate Hanukkah? Like, what are their lives like? Can we be friends? Do they want to talk? I mean, it's just like that. And so I was just looking for like heavy glasses, and I wanted, do you know how hard it is to find basic stuff in the United States that's not made in China? I get so mad. I finally found some. I thought I found some. It was like an American company and they did stuff in Germany. And they were just, you know, cheap glasses. But then some people were saying that they had lead in them. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh. And we didn't want crystal. I wanted just glass. I wanted heavy glass that if I break it, I can replace it cheap. I finally found some after 3 days of research. I'm not even joking you, because you can't just like go into Target and get some drinking glasses made in China. Made in China, made in China, made in China. Oh man, do you guys really want to go down the rabbit hole? Because I will take you there. I could talk about this forever. Name a product and I will tell you the history of where it's made. This is how crazy I've gotten. So I finally found some that were American made. I would even settle for Taiwan made because, you know, we like Taiwan and it would make China mad. And I finally got them and I have them here. And it's just cut glass. They're just heavy cut glass. Nothing bad. I wanted heavy. I wanted heavy glasses. Like, I wanted it to look chunky and I don't care if it has a seam. But I needed it to be made in the United States. There are so many things that are made in China that I was talking to a friend of mine who does clothing. And they were saying that, or they're starting a clothing thing, like leisure wear. And they were saying how expensive it is to have stuff produced in the United States. Like one of the items that they were making, that they were going to offer, having it made in China or outsourcing it to China, they can offer it to the American consumer market for like, you know, $40, $50, because it's made very well. And there's like certain, it was, you know, pants, pocket stuff. And if you make it in the United States, it's like $150. So that's why. And so now, like, even, and I was talking to some friends of ours and who were, we had this big discussion about all of this stuff, and things that are made in the United States are so much more expensive. I'm willing to pay that to not give money to communist China. Right. But it's just, you have to invest the time. My husband was so aggravated with me because it was like 11:30 and I'm like laying in bed and I'm like, I can't, I'm researching glasses. I'm trying to figure out where these are made. And I even get my kids in on it. It's a big thing. I am obsessed. So if you ever have a question about something, I'm a walking Google, at least as it relates to this. If you ask me to do algebra, I will choke to death. I don't, you know, I have certain talents. But it's like, how far do you want to go with this? In order to really affect this, everybody, this is a decision, everybody's involved. Where do you think these jerseys are made? Out of curiosity.
I'm going to say China.
You think?
I think China.
I'm really, have you gone to the site to where they are? Because now I want to look at them when I'm on air. Will you find out? Just like see if you can, because I'm positive they would be. If they're not, I'm totally going to, I will get one and I'm going to get something sassy on it. Just will. So yesterday, it's not really a conversation. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't really have conversations, but she was she was engaging in poverty appropriation. She was engaging in poverty chic, which is something limousine liberals do. This is a girl who grew up in Westchester, and she was sitting here trying to appropriate poverty and say that poverty, that's the reason why people commit crimes, is because of poverty. And she was going through New York's spiked crime rate, and I pointed out, first off, that she grew up in Westchester, so stop. And secondly, that if it wasn't for her and her party's support of defunding police and supporting recidivism, etc., then we wouldn't have this discussion. So she pivots and she's talking about budget, which I haven't even addressed yet, but we can totally have that conversation. They did disband their plainclothes unit. Instead of improving the plainclothes unit, they decided to just disband it altogether. And yet that was the unit that was out there on the streets looking at repeat offenders and criminal felony possession of firearms. So they were in illegal possession of firearms as they were prohibited possessors. So instead of improving it, instead of finding out what was wrong and making it better, we'll just give up and disband it. But furthermore, she never answered, why is it then that you're seeing, we had this 411% surge in retirements from NYPD. They had to put a moratorium on it. And the shooting surge after the anti-crime unit, the plainclothes units, disbanded. Her argument is that our systematically racist system is oppressive. Thus, all these people are out there committing crimes. But if it's a systematically racist system, then why is it that you also have poor white people committing the exact same crimes? I'm just curious. And if the capitalistic system is oppressive, then what of the oppression of being forced to stay home? And if the crimes are being legitimately committed by poor dads, like the toddler that was shot and shot on Sunday night in Brooklyn, 1-year-old, it wasn't because anybody involved with that crime was trying to get a loaf of bread and feed some kids. That's not what drove that. That's not what drove the other child that was killed before that. No, if these crimes are being legitimately committed by poor dads looking for bread, as she posits, then wouldn't disallowing them the ability to work through quarantine shutdowns further fuel this? I mean, it just seems like she doesn't think all this stuff through. Wait, I can just stop after the she doesn't think part. Someone was like, oh, yeah, like she owned you. And I'm like, well, it would be just like a Democrat obsessed with owning people. They haven't been this mad since we took their slaves away. All right. So let's move on because we have other things to touch on. Yeah, you knew that was coming. I'm still going to order that jersey.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
I love me some Gary Newman. I mean, he made the weirdest faces.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But I love Gary Newman. I mean, he's like, didn't he do a reality show a little bit later?
I think so, yeah.
Kind of hurt me a little bit, but that's all right. It's Gary Newman. He can do whatever he wants to, right? He doesn't owe you anything. It's Gary Flippin' Newman. DanaLash.com. So imagine, you know, you're wearing your mask because now you can personalize your masks. Again, cloth masks are stupid. But if you get the cloth mask and you put those filters in, that's better. Most of you, a lot of people don't do that. Don't lie to me. Somebody, by the way, was trying to get sassy with me because I, over the weekend, I put a picture on Instagram. And I only wear surgical grade masks or I'll wear an N95. And I'm not even going to feel bad that I have N95 because I thought ahead years ago being a germaphobe. So stop. And there was a candy place. Don't laugh at me. We wanted some candy cigarettes and root beer. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, it's just, that's what you do. You got kids. Hey, you want some candy cigarettes and root beer? But Dana, you're giving them bad habits. I grew up on candy cigarettes. Do you see me with like one tooth selling meth? No, you don't. So we went into the store and they require, not all the stores require, but they required masks. I don't need to know your life story if you're a business and you want people to wear masks. I don't give a damn. If you got something that I want, because I'm not a bake the cake bigot, I'm consistent, then I'll put on a surgical mask or an N95. I'll go in and I'll go what I want and I'll go because I also want to support local businesses. I don't know. Maybe they have someone in there that is immunocompromised or I don't know. Maybe could be a million other reasons. I don't care. I got places to go. Actually, I don't. I have things I have to do. Nowhere to go. So, but I wanted candy cigarettes and root beer. And we went in there and they had all this candy, all these amazing sodas. And I got my Rowdy Roddy Piper bubble gum. That's what I posted up on Instagram. I was like, of course I will wear something on my face to get this gum. Who wouldn't? Somebody was like, are you wearing a mask? And I felt like, what, do I really have to explain this? Do you have an aide that can help you? Like, for real. Anyway, but imagine being in Bath & Body Works and this happens. Audio soundbite 27.
Are you the manager?
I am her.
Bath & Body Works?
Recording.
What did you say again, ma'am?
Have a good night.
You said Donald Trump?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Thank you.
He had a Trump mask on, and the manager of that Bath & Body, don't take it out on all the Bath & Body Workses, but she was like, blank Trump. Okay, Karen, nobody cares your political opinions. You're there to sell lotion and soaps. Sell lotion and soaps, or STFU. Nobody cares. Right? Like, I'm pretty sure you need your job, and I'm pretty sure that people who are decent people don't want you to not be employed. And I'm pretty sure that nobody wants Bath & Body Works to get hurt because you're a moron. Just someone expresses a different viewpoint, you have the option of not being a doucher about it. Just sell some lotion and soaps and shut up and everybody goes about their lives. Like, why is that such a hard thing for everybody? It's the Karenism. It's spreading faster than the virus. Stay with us. What makes Patriot Mobile different? It's their exceptional customer satisfaction. It's because they listen to your needs and share the same values. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, Patriot Mobile is committed to supporting organizations fighting for religious freedom, First and Second Amendments, sanctity of life, and the needs of veterans and first responders by donating a portion of every dollar to the causes you believe in. And now, with the broadcast coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks, all Patriot Mobile plans include unlimited talk and data with high-value commitment-free plans to fit any budget. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for free activation, multi-line discounts, veteran and first responder discounts, and up to $600 in referral bonus dollars. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Dana. Patriot Mobile, mobilizing conservatives.
We have to look after our children, our teachers, the custodians. There are many, many people who are involved in the education of our children. Let's show that we put children first and their education by putting the resources there, because without the resources, we shouldn't even be thinking about sending them back.
But defund the cops, though.
Right.
Defund the police, though. Without look at that. Without the resources. That was Nancy Pelosi, obviously, who also doesn't care that some people do some things. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook, simulcast there, which you can live stream across the country as well, etc. All and Channel 248, Pluto TV via the first. By the way, the NBA has now reversed their position. They have reversed their position on the jerseys. It did allow kill cops until everyone lost their ever-loving mind. And now Washington Free Beacon says that, or not Washington Free Beacon, a couple of different, this is Reuters, Media, Buzz, and some others. You can now get free Hong Kong. Oh. And NBA's like, oops, that was their statement. They didn't really actually say that, but oops. It's what, I can't, it's like, apparently you could, someone was like, you could also get Trump has AIDS. I mean, people were testing everything. They were testing everything. Woo, my goodness. Well, at least they've changed. That was only, they didn't make a mistake. They just didn't allow that because they didn't think anybody was going to say anything. And meanwhile, the Goya boycott, I just retweeted a picture of a photo. In some stores, they're actually saying, putting signs on the Goya product saying, because of increased demand, customers are limited to two of each item in this section. I've gotten their garbanzo beans before. It's good. Now I'm going to go and buy all the things. At my store, they were like that, too. They were like, can't see everybody's buying their stuff.
I like the juices, like the mango juices and everything else. I mean, they have all kinds of juices. They literally have anything you would ever want in regards to creating an authentic Mexican.
I like to just kind of whip it like in terms of spices and that. Like there's certain things you can just do yourselves. But sometimes I'm just lazy. Or if I'm outsourcing it to one of my kids.
Right.
Sorry. It's not going to work. You know what I mean? Like, I have two cabinets full of spices, but sometimes you're just like, I just want to, like, what is it that Chris uses in everything? And I'm not going to get it. What is it? Tony Chachier's.
Oh, yeah.
Chris puts it on everything.
That's a Greek or something, isn't it? Or
I don't know.
It's a nice spice.
I'm saying it wrong. I'm positive.
I dig it.
I have my mom's pronunciation with everything. But... yeah, the Tony Chachier's, he puts it on. It's actually quite good on eggs. It's delicious on eggs. It's really good. And we're gonna talk about food, and I'm gonna lose the whole point of why we're doing this show. All right, so where was I at? Because I want to make sure I hit all this stuff. I go and I make these big long lists of content, and this is like all stuff like the night before or this morning. I'm like, yeah, and then I get distracted when I get on air, and I'm just like, let's talk about seasoning. It's just. Yeah, today is Bastille Day. And remember, the French, I can't say what I have on this. The French Revolution was a failed exercise in dip blankery. That's what I put. Which it was, because it ended up being put down by Napoleon and he installed himself as a quasi-dictator and then it ended up reestablishing the monarchy. Great job. So if you were going to undermine the United States, you would, I was thinking about this last night after having a conversation with my oldest son who I have working with me. And you would find a way to shut down the economy, you'd find a way to shut down churches, you'd find a way to shut down schools, have people not, I'm not saying that this is, I'm not doing conspiracy theory stuff, but particularly after the headline that I shared with you the previous hour about how a health system in Florida was saying, yeah, no, we didn't have a 98% positivity rate, it was 9.4%. And they were really disputing, similar to how Pennsylvania had done prior and New York, they were really disputing the numbers, these numbers on which whether or not to keep a state open and running are based, those decisions. But you would have people not work, they wouldn't be worshiping. A lot of people find strength in faith, direction, contentment, peace. And there wouldn't be schools to educate people, right? Wouldn't have any of this. And I was thinking about all of this when I was looking at the mask shaming and everything else. I have a, and now how the cancel culture is also extending to the mask shaming. And speaking of cancel culture, I wrote this piece up last night, DanaLash.com. It's titled on Cancel Culture, Ricky Gervais, and Anti-Heroes. And I really do think that Ricky Gervais is a very interesting antihero. It's like that scene, the good Batman, not with Batfleck, but the good one with Christian Bale. And the guy, Officer Gordon, the actor who plays Officer Gordon in that one. Oh my gosh. I can't think of his name. He was great. He also was the vampire in Dracula with Winona Ryder. You're going to, Kane's, don't at me on Twitter. Kane's got it. He's looking it up. No, you're not. You're not doing this. You're failing me horribly. Oh my gosh. You know what?
Give me all the comic book stuff. Just give
it right. Well, no, because you have to like actually put like Christian Bale and, you know, Gary Oldman. Thank you, Internet. Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman was a great Commissioner Gordon. But do you remember, what was it, Dark Knight Rises? After Batman or Christian Bale at that point runs off and Commissioner Gordon's telling the kid that he saved that, well, he's not the hero we deserve. He's the hero we need. Or not the, or something like that. Right. So profound, I can't remember it accurately.
The hero we need, but not the one we deserve.
The hero we need, but not the one we deserve. That's kind of what this is. There's I like anti-heroes because I think they're the closest thing to humanity. I like Superman because Superman was, and I forget who had said this, Superman was sort of a troll on humanity. Like he, when he wants to go incognito and look weak, he dresses up as a human, particularly a reporter. But otherwise, he's Superman. And I always, I never liked the superheroes that were always the perfect people that always made the right decisions. And they always knew exactly what to do because I found it was very difficult to in any way empathize with them. There's nothing realistic. I liked Tony Stark because, you know, Tony Stark was brash and he was braggadocious and he was macho and he, which I think is a virtue. And he was wrong and right on things and he was imperfect. But that's kind of, I love that because the imperfection is relatable. The imperfection is motivating because you realize it doesn't matter what you do. It matters how you start. It matters how you get up. It matters how you rectify the situation. It matters if you keep going as opposed to whether or not you quit. And I love that, to me, is the strength. It's not the ungodly thing that you can't measure. It's not the superpower. It's the strength, the relatability. That very human strength is what I find empowering. That's what I find strong. So I love the anti-hero aspect of things. I love anti-heroes.
Because he's the hero Gotham deserves. But not the one it needs right now.
I love that. I love it. And I'm really thinking about this with the backlash that I see fomenting right now. Not just with Goya Foods, because now they're, what are they, like, they've made, like, so much money that they're having to ration the products at stores. They can't get them out on the shelves enough. But, like, for instance, Barry Weiss, who just had this New York Times piece. And some people have criticized her because she, you know, when she writes her pieces, she's not an ideologue, which I like. We have a lot of ideologues. I think it's fine to be an ideologue on an issue, but as a whole. And there is this very punk rock anti-hero aesthetic that is starting to come through. And there are certain people who are standing up, certain people. And I thought about this with the Harper's Magazine letter that every, like, even, you know, Noam Chomsky had signed, J.K. Rowling had signed. All of these people that we have, I think, not paid very close attention to because we feel as though their politics didn't align with ours, thus we don't need to take them seriously or they're not relevant to what we're doing. And now that we are so far down this path, we are finding some very unlikely allies on the most basic of issues. The ability to express oneself, the ability of speech, the ability to just actually be different and think differently and approach things differently without fear of a fascistic cancel culture. And that is a tenet of fascism. You can say that it's not, but it is. I mean, that's literally how it's helpfully defined. Barry Weiss resigned from the New York Times, and I retweeted a link to her piece, her resignation letter. She wrote it at the New York Times, and I have enjoyed her work over the years. It is one of the most scathing things I've ever read from a staffer on the New York Times. And I think that's very powerful. It's very powerful because she's not an ideologue, like I said. And I think that on the right and left, people have made the mistakes of thinking that only their allies can only be ideologues, when sometimes you're on certain issues and at certain times, the most powerful witnesses for a cause you support can be the people that you may not think are your allies. And it was, she isn't really speaking anything else about it. It was just her piece that she has up on her website, but I linked it up if you follow me on Twitter, at DLash. And she described the New York Times as a civil war. She said that it's the over 40 liberals, and that they fought with some of the millennials, which it's interesting. Like, some of the people she says that are most closed-minded are the older ones. And it's just, she really just blows the doors off the place. You have to read it. But that plus the Harper's letter, and then this piece that I wrote about Ricky Gervais last night. Because he's one of these like anti-heroes. He's a voice of reason during a period when you need a person who is irreverent. I always like people who push the boundaries. Even if I disagree with it or disagree with how they're saying it, I think the people who push the boundaries, you know how you would like lay out a piece of paper that would roll up unless you secure the ends? I kind of look at it like that. You know, like if say you get, some parchment paper out, and you're rolling it out, maybe you're going to put it on a baking pan or whatever, and it rolls up in the middle. You need the things to pin down the either side so that it stays cool. It's all copacetic. It's all chill. And I think that the people who push the boundaries are the people, I think they're needed. Even if I disagree with them, even if I think some of the things they say are immoral, I think I'm a free speech purist to a point where it makes a lot of people very uncomfortable. I think you have to have that on the right and the left. And so I think Gervais is one of these individuals who is an anti-hero in this. And I wrote that, I can't yet tell if our world is short on heroes or if we've just forgotten how to recognize them, but at least we can recognize allies in this anti-cancel culture cause when they appear. He has said that when he was promoting some of his work, he said that there's this new weird sort of fascism that people are of people thinking they know what you can say and what you can't say. And it's a weird thing. And there's this trendy myth that people who want free speech wanted to say awful things all the time, which isn't true. And he says the problem with hate speech is what constitutes it. There's no consensus on what it is, who decides. And that's the real rub, because obviously people who think they want to close down free speech because it's bad, those are the fascists. He says it's a really weird mixed up idea that these people hide behind a shield of goodness. And if you're mildly left wing on Twitter, you're suddenly Trotsky. If you're mildly conservative, you're Hitler. And if you're centrist and you look at both arguments, you're a coward and you're hated. And he's right. Hate speech is such an arbitrary term. It's situationally defined by the politics of the definer and whatever political purpose it's invoked to serve. It's always a political purpose, never a person, which is the problem. And these fascists act as though their intent is to appeal to your good nature and your generosity of spirit. But it starts as, don't state this opinion because it hurts people. And decent people don't want to hurt people. They don't want to intentionally hurt people. But then it became, don't possess this opinion because it hurts people. And then your existence hurts people. And they took it as far as they could while maintaining this veneer of sincerity. But any plausibility that they had disappeared because their demands grew crazier. And the only people who still believe this fascistic garbage about dissent and challenged opinions are those people that I told you yesterday, truth holds no sway. Fact holds no sway. It's all about ideological allegiances. And it's irrelevant to consistency, truth, or decency. When does it end? When everybody push back. And maybe it's already happening. We're going to talk about that coming up.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Now, remember what I was telling you about the GoFundMe thing? A guy raised over $100,000 to purchase and donate Goya products after people called to boycott them. Unbelievable. Apparently, this guy created this. His name's Casey Harper, and he raised $115,000 just since the weekend. Actually, it's over that now. I mean, that was what it was last night. It's like well over that now. That's pretty unbelievable. Pushback? That's what we're going to talk about. Also, I finally found a statue that I support tearing down. It's one in Latvia. It's designed to hype the internal coronavirus fear and reinforce the wearing of masks to conform with government orders. And it's a giant statue. I guess it's like a dirt nurse or something, and they're wearing a face mask. Okay, I would actually, I'd take that one down. But I, you know, Why don't we target that one? Just saying. Getting married before age of 21 increases the risk of developing a drinking problem, according to a study.
That's true.
I'm like made of responses on this. I don't have a... Well, I was 21 when I... Yeah. I was 21 when I did, so. But anyway, this is a study reported by Daily Mail. They said that getting married at young might seem romantic, but those that tie the knot before age 21, they might be most likely to develop a drinking problem. Okay. Well, I think that a lot of people... Well, maybe, perhaps. I mean, there's a lot of variables in that, but, you know. Texas A&M police say a student who reported racist notes, he actually placed them there himself on his car. Yeah, College Station, KBTX, police at Texas A&M University said a student who reported finding racist notes on his car's windshield actually may have placed them there himself. Isaiah Martin called the police on June 24th, and he said three handwritten notes were on his car, but apparently they have like some witnesses and some footage and all kinds of stuff. So see, that's why you make reasonable people be suspicious. Stay with us.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to the Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Now, if you're talking about folks who deserve an apology, that's a woman who deserves an apology. From you, Tucker Carlson. That's just me speaking. And yeah, you can think of all the things that are wrong with me. There is a lot wrong with me. I take it all. But it does not change the fact that you were out of line.
He wasn't.
And should never, ever have said anything like that about an American vet in the United States of America.
I can't. Whoopi Goldberg's obviously, this was what, just this week from her talking to Tucker Carlson about his remarks on Tammy Duckworth. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. 248 on Pluto TV via the first. So, as I said in my post, that piece that I wrote on danalash.com, this whole thing went, it all started as, don't state this opinion because it hurts people. And then don't possess this opinion because it hurts people. And then your existence hurts people. Tucker Carlson is being blasted because he was straightforward and honest. And he really is in the crosshairs of the cancel culture right now. And I've known Tucker for a number of years. We've done election night coverage together before he had a show. He's in the crosshairs because they want to act as though they object to the way that he states things. But that's never actually the critique. They're not critiquing him because of the way he stated anything. They're critiquing him because he stated it, period. They're condemning him because he simply stated it. When he was talking about Tammy Duckworth, he simply said that your service is not an inoculation against criticism. And I've seen some leftist people who've served say that. I am very anti the idea that the common citizen, when debating a veteran, this is an appeal to some sort of authority. It's a logical fallacy that the everyday citizen must immediately be discounted because they don't have the experience of serving, even if it has nothing to do with the discussion at hand. And even if it has everything to do with the discussion at hand, it misses the entire point of a founding principle of this country. We are not military dictatorships. We are not where the military outweighs the civilian every single time. That's what makes the United States so unbelievably unique, is that we lift up. It's the thing that we celebrate is the average. The thing that we celebrate is the everyday. We celebrate being common. We celebrate being average. Because that is... Remember when at the time of the War of Independence and the Declaration of Independence, we were fighting against the idea that a monarch across the sea in a court wherein we have no representation can make determinations for people that they've never met. I mean, it's the very idea of our republic and the democratic processes within our republic. We're celebrating the everyday. And the idea devised that if a government is too big and unwieldy for a common people to handle, then the government is too big and unwieldy. And it is not a, to say common, it's not a statement on the intelligence or the abilities or the talents of a people. It's talking about average everyday people who aren't monarchs, who, you know, they're not peers, they're not any of this stuff. And it recognizes that common everyday people, every single person has a dog in this fight. Every single person has skin in the game, whatever phrase you want to use. And that's the entire reason. It is supposed to be a system of governance that everyday people can not only understand, but everyday people can participate in, which is why I'm also so incredibly hostile to the litmus test of Ivy League and everything else that is put down as a way to eliminate individuals from ever seeking elected office, or particularly higher elected office. Out of all the jobs out there to which you are entitled, there is a level of entitlement for you that you can run for without question. Elected office, including the office of the presidency, is one of them. You can have discussions about experience, etc. But one of the unique things about our country is that every single person has a shot at it. And that's how it was originally intended. The further you get away from that, the closer you get to everything that we rebelled against. It's supposed to be a country represented by the average everyday Americans that it serves. And when you get away from that, that's when you get tyranny. When you get away from that, that's when you get corruption. It's when you get deep state. It's when you get all the stuff that we criticize. And so that's why I am very hostile to this defense of Duckworth, as though you can't simultaneously say, that's great, thank you for serving. It doesn't protect you from deserved criticism. That isn't, I think it's an abuse of that legacy to expect that you can say whatever you want, no matter how, to use the left's favorite metric, offensive it may be, and believe that you are shielded from criticism because of that. That isn't how that works. I mean, if you want to have that, if that's the ground you insist on having this fight, then I could counter it with saying, well, then you of all people should know better than most. It's not how this is supposed to work. This is why I think that the condemnation and criticism of Carlson on this is uncalled for. No, you don't get to say whatever you want and say, well, you can't criticize me because I served. I appreciate the service of everybody, regardless of politics. But I'm not going to sit here and pay as an indulgence a silence when criticism is deserved, as a rebuttal to a ridiculous remark or a ridiculous policy stance. It goes against everything that our country was founded on. It goes against my very American DNA. And it offends my good senses, and should yours. But that's how it is. That's how cancel culture is, right? Decent people don't want to rock the boat. Decent people don't want to hurt people's feelings. Everyone out there who acts like they're so hurt and triggered, it's fake. Now, there's certain things that it's just not, don't. It's ridiculous to say certain things and hurt people's feelings, not because you can't. And I'm not going to tell you not to do it. Your own good nature and your own morality and your own ethics are your guidance for that, not any outside force. And that's another thing. I don't like it when like this cancel culture phenomena. I don't like it that we're implementing like a think poll system. When people get so far removed from even administering their own thoughts and their own speech, doesn't that make them even more dangerous? When you have your ability taken from you to be able, and you don't know what's good anymore and what's bad. When you have a think poll outside system that redefines everything.
Yep.
That's why they're appealing to your generosity of spirit. They're appealing to your good nature, but it's all BS. These are people who are not genuinely offended. If they were genuinely offended, they would be consistent. People who are decent people are consistent, even when it enrages those who might be their likely allies. And so all of this, it keeps going more and more. It became, like I said, don't express this. Don't say this opinion because it hurts people. Don't possess this opinion because it hurts people. Your existence hurts people. The only allegiances people have is to their own ideological nature. It's not to consistency. It's not to truth. It sure as hell not to fact. decent people should be enraged that their very moral fabric is questioned simply because they support a different means to an end. Sometimes it may be even a different end. As I said earlier, it's not going to be the loud pundits. It's not going to be the loud commentators. It's not going to be the people that you see on Fox News. It's not going to be the people you see on CNN or MSNBC that really are the ones to end the... It's not going to be me or people like me that end the cancel culture phenomena. It's not going to be those people. It's going to be unlikely people. It's going to be the people who are consistent, who maybe perhaps they're not out there front and center and they've just been quietly doing their own thing. It's not going to be an ideologue. They will not be ideologues. It's going to be a group of people, everyday folks who are just tired of it. And they join together and they're like the Goya stuff. The average everyday people who are buying all the stuff off the shelves, those are the people who are ending this. Not an ideologue. The people who are pushing back against this cancel culture stuff, it's going to be like the Ricky Gervaises. He's not an ideologue. He's a lefty on some things, and on thought, he's very conservative. And I use conservative properly. Conserving individual liberty. That is, when I say conservative, that's exactly what I mean. Conserving individual liberty, conserving the ability to be one's own steward, for the lack of a better way to put it. Those are the J.K. Rowling's. She's a leftist. But does that mean that you cannot be an ally on a particular issue? I wrote about this in Grace Canceled. I explored the whole thing of Common Ground. This is so terrifying. And you, I'm going to tell you something. The left goes at these people harder than you ever will. You think that you're going to criticize, you know, maybe like a Rowling or somebody on the left that you think is on the left. Maybe they engage in some, you know, leftist, maybe they support a leftist policy. Maybe they support a socialistic economic, whatever. I don't know. But when it comes to certain things like thought, they think like you, you will never get even remotely close to going after them as hard as their own side will. Because their own side, progressives, are vicious. Look at history. You know, since it's Bastille Day, or was it yesterday? Yeah. I mean, remember when you had Maximilian Robespierre and the French Revolution? Yeah, it is today. And when you have all at first the Committee of Public Safety, I mean, Robespierre led this and they were all on the same page. And then later on, they ended up turning on each other because you must be homogenized. It must be like the Borg. It's one group thought and you cannot stray from any point of it, because if you stray from any point of it, you compromise their resistance. You compromise their defense. Their defense isn't consistency of idea or truth or fact. Their defense is how many people they can get to just agree with it. When you have someone on the left that says, wait a minute, this isn't right, they are immediately, it's like John Wick, it's excommunicado. You're out. You are no longer able to take advantage of these services that is offered to you. No, you can't have, you're out. The Continental's closed. And that's what it is for like Gervais and Rowling. Rowling agrees with the left on so many things, but on the issue of transgenderism, she was talking about protections for women. Have you seen some of those? I promise you, you haven't even seen like the tip of what they have said to her. They do this as a way to prevent people from leaving, as a way to make toxic those who have left, because those people, in a way, they're anti-heroes. They're flawed. But those people are relatable. They're relatable to people like me. I was a leftist. I left the left. Chris Hitchens had an exorbitant amount of influence on me. I read everything that I have every book he has ever published. I have a book of his essays. I have read everything he has ever done. And he's an atheist, and I'm a Christian. His logic is consistent. Those people are the most dangerous people in culture. It's not the ideologues. It's not the loud people. It's those people. They're consistent and they'll be honest about it. It's the J.K. Rowlings. It's the Barry Weisses, who's even more consistent than the others. It's the Ricky Gervaises. John Legend came out in defense of Chance the Rapper when Chance the Rapper was asking people, why Biden? People were blowing Chance the Rapper up. And John Legend actually came out, and I've met John Legend. He talked about himself in the third person. And I disagree with him on a lot of things, and I think some of the stuff he says is dumb. But he came out and defended Chance the Rapper. And now he started getting blown up for it. That's dangerous. It's the people who can triangulate, who seemingly maybe can be on both sides or maybe more on the left than others. They are the most dangerous things to this. There's nuance. This is why I keep screaming about nuance. Nuance will do it, not an ideologue.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So here's a Florida Man story. Broward Teachers in Florida, their Broward Teachers Union, changed its mind on endorsing a Florida man, former disgraced coward sheriff Scott Israel. The Broward Teachers Union, according to the Sun Sentinel, rescinded its recommendation that members vote to reinstate him as county sheriff after he was removed from office. They decided to not endorse in the sheriff's race after hearing complaints about disgraced former sheriff Scott Israel, particularly from Parkland area teachers who were infuriated by his department's response to the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Union President Anna Fusco said, "This was not intended to have upset people. We heard our members speak up and we'll continue to make sure that we start schools on August 19th to be safe, you know, et cetera." But they said that, no, we're not going to endorse. So a spokeswoman for Scott Israel declined to comment. Oh, I can imagine. I can't even believe that anybody was even ever entertaining the idea of voting or endorsing this guy ever. So I'm glad to hear that they've changed their minds on that, at least. Good heavens. Yeah, I still can't believe that he's even actually running again, but, you know, there you go. Let's see. I have a million other things. There's a Florida man who illuminated a lighthouse for the first time in 160 years. A Florida man who got into all kinds of wild mask-related shenanigans. A Florida man who wants to do good. And another Florida man who burned down a house. Or actually, and then another guy who exposes woman, who exposed himself to a woman drinking coffee on the porch of a condo. And then he looks shocked about this in his mugshot. All right, we have more coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show back after this.
Well, I think it is a fair point to raise as to whether or not, if he loses, he's going to go quietly or not. And we have to be ready for that. But there have been so many academic studies and other analyses which point out that it's just it's an inaccurate, fraudulent claim. There isn't that problem.
That's Hillary Clinton. They said this back in 2016 as well. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter. Official Dana Lash on Facebook and Pluto TV, channel 248, via the first.
Do you think they quietly transferred power, the Democrats, in 2016? Do you think it was just a peaceful transfer of power?
Well, no, not when I consider the notes that have finally found their way out to daylight from the Mueller investigation and Peter Strzok's own handwritten notes and everything that we know about the hiring of Fusion GPS, which then turned around and got taxpayer dollars in the form of the Paycheck Protection Program, and working with a foreign entity through, you know, the Russia, the Hillary Clinton campaign. So it's weird. This is like Colonel Sanders accusing somebody of Chick-fil-A of something. It's just... And that's even slightly exaggerated because Chick-fil-A, you know, like in that case and that scenario, they didn't really even do anything. It's like, honestly, it's like Colonel Sanders accusing Taco Bell of something. Right. Let's put it correctly. Right. It's just weird. I think this kind of goes in sort of when I talk about the cancel culture phenomena and people who have no consistency and for whom truth nor fact hold any sway, they will say, and my son asked this, because this is, I had, when we were last night when I was stacking the show and kind of like figuring where things were going to go and how, because I can kind of understand how I want to talk about stuff and how I want to present it, although sometimes that may change with the feel. Next day, it just feels different. You want to move things around. Anyway, we played the video, the Cuomo, the video where he was going at Trump. And then my son had found another one where he was mentioning Trump. And he was like, he just says this stuff, but yet. And then he was checking. He literally did the checks notes. He actually checked his notes and was like, but the nursing home order. And then he's like, here's the PDF of the order that he had to change because he got criticized. I'm like, I know. He's like, so he'll just go out and say things that everyone knows aren't true. And I said, but that's the thing. Even if everyone knows it isn't true, people, including a lot in media, because media isn't media anymore. It's just different levels of advocacy. And people in media will ignore this because it's about ideological allegiance. That's what it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if New York has the highest fatality rate. It doesn't matter if he had this order that condemned the elderly to their deaths in nursing homes, including some friends of mine who lost parents and parent-in-laws in these nursing homes, whose pain is very real. I have a friend who did not get to bury their parents, and they are really having a very difficult time right now. And this is not an individual who's an ideologue. They're having a very difficult time dealing with the fact that they could not bury a parent, and yet the protests and everything else that they saw out there were acceptable. That made my friend an ideologue. There, and you know the zeal of a new convert. It's hot. And I don't mean that like in an attractive way. Like it's raw. It is like searing. There's going to be a reckoning on that. I don't know how, but there's going to be a very dedicated group of voters who they're going to get a reckoning somehow. What is it? It's like that, the new version of Magnificent Seven, when Chris Pratt's character is talking to that woman, and he wants to tell her how to shoot, and then he realizes she actually can already shoot pretty well. And he's like, well, what is it that you're after, revenge? And she goes, no, a reckoning. But I'll take revenge. It's a powerful quote. It's one of my favorite movie moments. Anyway, you have this very dedicated group. You're going to see that. By the way, speaking of this, I don't have this right here. I want to get into some cancel culture stuff because I have some silly stuff. I want to lighten the load a little bit. Where is this headline? Because it is a government official. Here it is. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, I missed this earlier this week. He actually finally admitted that protests did lead to a spike in coronavirus cases. He admitted it. We all know that. I'm not really a fan of this guy, but kudos to him for being honest. It's true. He said, yes, protesters, were not wearing masks. They were not social distancing. And he confirmed that LA County health officials believe that the spike in the cases in the city are due to recent demonstrations. I mean, he absolutely believes in that. I believe in that elsewhere, all around the country. Think about it. Harris County, Texas, Houston, Texas, the spike in cases, it's in that area. Where did they have some of the biggest demonstrations? All the areas where they had big demonstrations, you're now watching spikes in these exact areas. But you're being led to believe that it is because you wanted to reopen the economy and you wanted to see people get back to work and you wanted kids to go back to school and et cetera, that they're trying to blame you for something they know you didn't do. And I think this is emotionally abusive. You are being emotionally abused by many in legacy press who are trying to shame you and brainwash you into believing that the reopening and the manner in which many of these areas reopened are the reason why so many of these cases, you see so many of these cases and you see so many spikes in so many areas. When in fact, it's due to demonstrations. Now, keep in mind, as I've told you many times, in New York, they are not even allowed. They were not allowed when they do the contact tracing to ask whether or not the individual had protested or gone to a riot. I'm pretty sure that nobody would be like, yeah, I rioted. I protested. What? Burned down a Winnie's. What? Like that one chick burned down a Winnie's. Some of my cousins say a Winnie's. Winnie's. It's a Somo thing. I don't know. It's like, but you had to say it with a banjo twang. I'm going to start saying it now. I'll have it in my head and I'll just accidentally start talking like that. All right. So this, at least Garcetti was honest about this, right? At least he was honest. Is that enough though? I don't know. I need to play this audio for you. So, I've been trying to hold off the census. Actually, let me start with cancel culture, because I'm going to hold off the census cowboy, because I'm never going to get past that. And if I play it now, we're going to finish the hour with it, because I'll never leave. Joe Biden had one job. He cited Mao during a fundraiser. Do I want to be, part of me wants to say, okay, well, was he really citing Mao, or was he? No, he was. And part of me, I'm, you know that, and I posted this on Instagram last night, the proverb of the two wolves. It's an old Cherokee proverb. And they said the grandfather's telling his son, you know, there are two wolves fighting inside of everyone. And one of the wolves is envy and greed and vengeance and anger. And the other wolf is, you know, kindness and goodness and, you know, nice stuff. Right. And the grandson asks, okay, well, which wolf wins? And the grandfather goes, whichever one you feed. So I have two wolves in me right now. One is all about, let's hold the left accountable to their own rules. And that's like the bigger wolf. The other one's basically like a runt that can barely walk. And the other one is the good one. And it wants to go, let's appreciate nuance. And I'm being honest with you. Like, I don't want to. I mean, this is what he had said. Because some people are saying, oh, well, context. Yeah, well, as somebody who has had progressives come at her a million times, I also feel like, to take it back to that scene in Magnificent Seven, the new one with Antoine Fuqua, which I love the old one too, where she's like, it's not I want a reckoning, but I'll take revenge. I kind of feel like that. So he cited this Chinese proverb, women hold up half the sky. And that's a proclamation that Mao made in the mid 20th century. So that kind of really, I think, explains his whole China policy. If you wanted to know what that would look like, well, he's quoting Mao. There you go. In fact, that should be an ad. Right. Like, where does Joe Biden stand on China and trade with China and everything else, etc.? Show this clip, if there is a clip of it out there. I'm sure there is. So that's, you know, if they're going to make up a story about Trump not running down a ramp, then this is huge. If Trump had quoted Mao, holy wow. You know how that would go. So the two wolves are fighting and the one's like the runt, right? Anyway, I'm just saying. Meanwhile, there's still blank hosts. A Hong Kong doctor who fled to the United States describes the Chinese cover-up of the coronavirus. Whew, my goodness. This story is crazy. I watched one of these interviews. Dr. Li Minyang, she's never going to be able to go back to Hong Kong ever. Ever, ever, ever. It's just so sad. There's so many individuals who have to leave and they're never going to be able to come back. She said her friends in China were saying they weren't allowed to talk about this. They had to deny. She said that she was sharing her concerns and the Chinese government was reducing cases. I mean, the story's crazy. Everything that you ever suspected, she confirms it. And she has nothing to, she has a lot to lose. So there's no reason why she would make this up. So there's still, now the, couple of things. Here's the cancel culture stuff. First off, a Massachusetts historical site is going to change its name to be more inclusive. It's called Plymouth Plantation, Plymoth, and it focuses on colonial life on the English settlement in Plymouth. Plymouth. That's, yeah, I guess that was the old English spelling, I guess. I don't know. How did it change? So they said that the site's going to soon be named the Plymouth Pawtuxet, as the latter refers to an indigenous name for the area. Okay, I really don't care. They said that the organization is no stranger to controversy. In 1981, a black actor was photographed in the role as a pilgrim, and many were questioning whether it was appropriate considering the history at the time. So I don't know. I don't really care. I think if you're like seriously freaking out about this level of stuff, do you want to come fold my laundry? Because clearly you have enough time in your life. And I think you need to go help people with like tasks around the house like folding their laundry. I really need someone to organize my refrigerator right now. Maybe you could come do that for me. Because clearly you have no life. So coming up, white people in dreadlocks, that's a no-go. Sidebar, I've made fun of this forever. Yeah. Like forever. I even had a name for it. Now you're not supposed to do it anymore, which I think that you shouldn't have done it anyway because you look stupid with it. Now, some people, I don't know. I mean, do what you do, but I'm also free to make fun of you. But now it's cancel culture. And I just bristle at cancel culture. So now I don't know if I dislike it anymore. I'm confused. So we've got that and a bunch of other stuff coming up for you. You don't want to miss it.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I wanted to get some of these headlines that I had in our last hour because some of these are huge that I don't know why I didn't get to them. First off, this one bothers me. And if you are a British person or know people who are in Britain, British experts say turn off your air conditioning to reduce risk of spreading the coronavirus. The World Health Organization admits that it can spread through tiny floating droplets. They're going to start saying that over here and I will physically fight you. I will physically, with my physical person, fight you. No. No. Nope. Not in Texas. The number of Minneapolis police stops and searches plummets. And then there's an explosion of violence from individuals who are prohibited possessors who are not able to legally possess firearms. Who saw that coming? I didn't see that coming. Four mysterious objects have been spotted in deep space, and they are unlike anything ever seen. Sidebar, I have a friend who's like, the government's going to announce something on aliens. I can feel it. I know it. Like, look at all the headlines and everything. You what? No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Seriously?
I believe it.
I don't know. So, but astronomers, according to Life Science, they found something unusual in the depths of space. Four faint objects that at radio wavelengths are highly circular, whatever the hell that means, and brighter along their edges, and unlike any class of astronomical object ever seen before. They said that they look like distant ring-shaped islands. They've been dubbed odd radio circles, or ORCs, for their shape and overall peculiarity. Astronomers don't yet know exactly how far away the ORCs are. They think they could be linked to distant galaxies, and they were found away from the Milky Way, from their galactic plane, one arc minute across. So apparently the moon's diameter is 31 arc minutes. If you ever wanted to measure, like have something, a reference, right? Just that way. It's aliens, isn't it? Scans reveal heart damage in over half of coronavirus patients in a study. A study on heart scans of Wuhan coronavirus patients has revealed more than half had some form of damage. The study involves 1,216 patients, of whom 813 had been diagnosed with the virus. 298 were deemed probable cases. Due to the design of the study, the remaining 105 were assumed to have the virus. The participants were from 69 countries across six continents, each had an echocardiogram. And of the total, 55% had abnormalities in their scan, and one in seven had what researchers described as severe or abnormalities. And on average, they were 62 years old, 70% were male, 60% of the scans were performed in a critical care setting, and 54 of the patients had severe Wuhan coronavirus. Wow. So coming up, the census cowboy. Because why not? I mean, why stop the crime when you could do that? Chicago, stay with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
So I have deep, deep affection for Donald Trump because I've known him 40 years. He's a man of great justice and fairness. He's a man of enormous courage. I knew he would take some shots for this, but I think most people, most fair-minded people understand he saved my life, and at least on paper, he gave me a chance to fight for vindication.
I just like the fact that there was a video, and we're totally playing this song for him tomorrow when he joins us. There was a video of him dancing a wild thing, like in his living room, to celebrate. So playing that. So good. Although I wonder how recent it was, because I swear he was in a turtleneck. I could be wrong. Also, does Stone wear turtlenecks? I don't know. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. So, there is some crime in Chicago. Some crime happening. And the mayor, who believes during the lockdown that she should be able to go to the salon, but not you. The mayor thinks that the real problem they're dealing with right now is the census. Y'all have to comply. So she decides to mention Batman, and then she brings out not Batman, but the census cowboy, because they both start with C, also like Chicago and crime. Listen.
When I was a kid, I loved the Batman TV show. And when the city of Gotham had a real difficult challenge, one of the things that the mayor there did is he called out and he set
stop,
out the distress signal to Batman.
It wasn't the mayor. I'm sorry, just now realized this. We'll play the rest of it. It wasn't the mayor. It was Commissioner Gordon. What was Commissioner Gordon, Kane?
What was he?
What was he? Mm-hmm.
Police officer, commissioner?
Yeah, what was he commissioner of?
Gotham.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
You're grounded. Steve, what was Commissioner Gordon commissioner of?
You're asking the guy that doesn't watch any movies at all.
I hate both of you right now.
The
thank you.
All right.
The city? No.
Well, that is the city.
I'm not even a Marvel person. Or not Marvel. No. DC.
Yeah.
I'm not even a DC fan. Sidebar, it's a long story. It's because sometimes it's too realistic and not smart-ass enough, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, anyway. I'm so disappointed. Yeah, he's the commissioner of the police. So she doesn't, you know, she's one of those individuals who's kind of been kind of questioned in some of the, I'm just saying, it's just ironic. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
And he sent out the distress signal to Batman. So we are doing something similar for the census. And I'm happy to report.
This is the most contrived thing
I'm
ever.
Calling out the census cowboy. So, if you see the census cowboy coming to your neighborhood,
he's gonna get robbed.
That's not a good thing. That means you gotta step up and do your part and make sure that you fill out the census. He's really gonna be going to the 10 communities across Chicago that have the lowest census response rate.
Here's the new headline.
It's time to giddy up.
We regret to inform you that the census cowboy has been shot and killed in Chicago. Okay, that's not a real headline, but it would you be surprised? Who the hell did this? Who did this?
And did they pay the licensing fees on that Old Town Road song?
Probably not.
I didn't think
holy
so.
Hell. Who did this? Who sits around and goes, we're having a problem with the census. Let's create a cowboy that just makes sense with Chicago. We'll call it the census cowboy. That's a great idea. Who does this? We'll have the... You literally have a crime problem, and you're going to send a dude out on a horse who's definitely going to get his ass kicked. Just saying. That makes sense to everybody, right? I mean, it's a dude, and he's got a flag. Immediately, someone's going to go, that looks political. Get him! And they punch horses now. So that horse is totally going to get punched. I'm just saying.
Wait, she's not really sending a cowboy out, though, is she?
No, and that's the thing. This guy probably can ride a horse, but he's not a cowboy. So that horse is going to get scared when a rider or a criminal tries to punch it. And then it's going to throw him, break his neck. He'll get shot. And then I don't even know what's going to happen. Who came up with that? And clearly she did not love Batman. Well, when the mayor called out, do everything you can to not mention the police, Mayor Lightfoot. Because it was Commissioner Gordon, a cop, who was like, Batman.
This is also the boardroom situation where a group of people got together and they all decided this was a good idea.
Yeah. I can't even imagine this conversation. How does this even work? Who came up with this? I do worry, actually, for that guy's safety, because he's probably not allowed to carry. And if it's a black cowboy, then all the white progressives who want to disarm black people because they still have some sort of semblance of Jim Crow in their hearts, they're going to be upset.
Doesn't New York have the naked cowboy?
Yeah, but he's a Trump supporter, so he's canceled.
I hate to get those mixed up.
He's canceled. He's a Trump supporter, apparently.
So they canceled the naked cowboy. I don't know how you cancel the naked cowboy, but...
Okay. Yeah, there's not much else you can do. Really. But this guy, I don't know. Are they going to send... They're going to have to send squad cars out with him. So what is he going to do? He just rides through the neighborhood? How many people are going to see this and think census? right? How many people are going to think this? And you know what? It would be better to have a giant Karen with a clipboard and a face mask, pull it in a truck bed or a hitch, and pull it through the neighborhoods, because people are going to be like, census. Right?
I can't. There's just symbolism, right? They're not really taking a guy on a horse.
Because Chicago. I mean, that's just what I think of.
I can't
imagine. I think of cowboys.
It's just absurd.
They should have had like an Al Capone guy dress up.
That would have been more,
right. It would have been more, and it would have been like historically accurate.
That would be more Chicago.
Yeah. I had to do the census this year. And by I had to do it, or our household had to do it, Chris filled it out because the thing online would not recognize my number. Great old government. I know. It said, no, this number doesn't exist. And the official documents that they gave me.
I wouldn't complain.
So it had to be done by hand. And they kept saying, because remember how I told you that? Like they sent it over Christmas, and over a 1 week span, they sent me like 5,000 notices threatening to send someone to my house to question me. And I'm like, good luck with that BS. Good luck with that. I pity the fool. I genuinely would be like, you need to get overtime for talking to me, because I'm ridiculous. Okay. Just anyway. So I don't know. So Rick's, I have to say, this guy who's goes by Rick's Cafe on Twitter, he goes, in Gotham, when they need help, they send out the bat signal. In Chicago, they send out the bat crazy signal. Makes sense. So, and Rancelot asks, is the mayor of Chicago going to go on a rooftop and flash a giant spotlight with a cowboy hat in the shape of the sky to summon the census cowboy? You, first off, you know that's a millennial up there. And secondly, and this is why I can't get past this. This is why I wanted to wait until this portion of the show to do this. Because what the hell are you, what's the point? You're just supposed to look outside and there's going to be a cowboy riding through your neighborhood? Is that what that means? Right? You're just going to see that? It means you have to step up and do your part. Here's a guy on a horse. Is enough people paying attention to that to know?
But what is the benefit of a cowboy talking about the census when they could literally just...
Starts with a C.
Talk about...
There's a lot of words that start with the letter C.
All right, you stop right there.
What?
You stop right there. I'm just saying...
Don't you see you next Tuesday with that business? What?
There's better ways to raise awareness about this, the lack of people filling out the census. I don't think Chicago's effective messaging is involving cowboys. I just don't see it.
They should have, so in the video, there's a guy who's like two of the mayor put together in height. They should just have him go through cities or towns or areas, neighborhoods in Chicago with a bullhorn and be like, fill out your damn census. Fill it out. Or, you know what would be funny? Is throw fake money in the air and be like, look at all this money you could get if you filled out your census. You know, like, because that's kind of, isn't that how it is? That's actually, I think, would be pretty funny.
I mean, like, there's so many other creative ways to get the messaging out. This is
that
not,
makes more sense.
This isn't one of them.
Yeah, it doesn't. This is. I'm trying to think of like so many different analogies that I could use. It's like a chicken wing place advertising with tacos. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I would see a guy on a horse. Well, it's Texas, so I wouldn't actually be that, you know, put off by it. But if I was a Chicagoan and I saw somebody rolling down the galloping, not really galloping, but clip-clopping down the street. What the, I don't know what they call it when they're just walking. I know precisely nada about horses. I'm going to be real with you. A horse kissed me once and I died five times, like right there. I think it kissed me or it was trying to bite me. I don't think they bite, but maybe they do.
I think they do.
Yeah. There's certain animals I don't have a great history with. Goats, monkeys, crickets, spiders, sheep.
Crickets and spiders aren't animals.
No, they are. They're a part of the animal kingdom. You're a bigot.
Pretty sure they're not.
Bigot. But I just would think it would be weird. If I saw it in Chicago, I would be like, he's on drugs. I need to call the cops. I mean, that's what... I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Okay. I know we have other stuff that I need to touch on. I need to tell you really quickly. So with the cancel culture, first off, the Native American son of Redskins logo designer says it's not offensive, says the change is hard. A new poll found that 90% of Native Americans were not offended by the Redskins name. Doesn't matter what you're offended by. It matters what the white people who claim to be acting on your behalf are offended by. So sit down. Isn't that their message? Is that right? Did I get that right?
How is this even real?
Yeah, so they don't care. Because none of this was done to accommodate Indigenous American protests. It was all done for the white progressives who just whine constantly. Actors, writers, and producers are warning of reverse racism in the industry, the Hollywood industry. They're saying that now it's toxic for anyone who's a white middle-aged man. You cannot get roles. I know some of my friends that I've met through like the punditry stuff in Hollywood, they have affirmed this. Yeah. If you're like a white middle-aged dude, you're done, pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So that's something to consider. And if you're white and you have dreadlocks, or the mute white people button on Instagram too, and we've got that. That's crazy. Mute white people, that's racist, right?
Wait a minute, that's actually on it?
It's actually, yeah, it's through Giphy, but it's available like on Instagram stories. You'd have to go to the GIF thing, which pulls from Giphy, and that's what it's from.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, so that's bad, right? Because if it would say, you know, anything else but white,
right,
that would be racist, right? I mean, it can't be racist in some instances and not in others. That's inconsistent. That, just saying. So when I was in college, there were a lot of white kids in college with dreadlocks, and I always thought they looked horrible because they were always done poorly too. So now there's a public apology from this Seattle business owner who was called out on social media for having dreadlocks because she's white. So she wrote, "Hello, everyone. I've come to understand far too belatedly that my hairstyle is harmful. It is clear that I have been stubbornly resistant, and I sincerely apologize to those I hurt. I am deeply sorry for the pain I caused to the members of the African-American community who have been and are still are discriminated against and mistreated for having dreadlocks. And I'm so sorry that it took me this long to admit and address my mistake. I have an appointment to remove my dreadlocks and, more broadly, am committed to earnestly listening and learn from the voices and lived experience different from my own. I never want to cause any harm," she said again and keeps talking. "Going forward, I will work in consultation with diversity and equity representatives to ensure my company's policies and practices and actions align with our intention to..." Oh, I'm so damn bored. "Maintain a fair and equitable and enjoyable workplace for everyone. Commitment is better." Oh my gosh, it continues. Like, okay, we get it. Stop it. Shut up. And this is crazy. I don't even know. Like, what did she do? Make sandwiches? The hell? Most all of these, honestly, white people with dreadlocks, it does look like, what was the thing? The Nickelodeon had the show Rugrats. They look like that one redheaded chick from Rugrats. That's what it looks like. And now all these other people are virtue signaling. When I was, you know, young, I had dreadlocks or white dreadlock, whatever. So this chick is a Seattle business owner, and they were going at her because of her hair. Right?
That seems to be
this is what a mental abortion looks like.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Jeez. I just am done with everything. Who cares? Oh my gosh. I didn't realize that there were certain, like when someone, because I'm insane, when someone tried to yell at me because I appeared on television with gold hoops, and I was like, "Lucky for you, I know the entire effing history of gold hoops. Are you Sumerian? You're not? Shut up." So I'm done. I'm done. Everything is, so we're only going to be able to use things that I'm confused.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
So apparently if you go to Google and you type in Florida man and your birthday and month, you'll get like a particular Florida man story. And as the internet rules go, that's your story for your Florida man story. It's like the numbers. So like the example is Florida man 314. So let me do this. Let me do this. I want to put this in and see what I get. I know I'm supposed to go to Dane Stupidity, right? You go to Day Stupidity while I do this. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do that now.
Do it now.
All right, today in Stupidity, de Blasio is out there talking, you know, proud about defunding the police. And a matter of fact, he thinks it's the right direction, believe it or not.
They added the NYPD budget, put it into youth programs, put it into social services, put it into recreation centers for young people. That's really the right direction. I'm glad we did that.
Oh. Yeah. Because the recreation centers, that does it. So my Florida man story, if you put it in Google, Florida man, and then your numbers, your birth date, mine is naked Florida man starts house fire while baking cookies on George Foreman grill.
Wow.
What's yours? Do yours. Google Florida man and then put your birth, your birth month number and birth date in. I'm curious. That's a, you know how you have like these rules on like, oh, like your street and your dog's name,
oh,
that's
man.
Your movie
Florida
name.
Man killed after fleeing from police.
Dang, mine involves cookies.
Oh my gosh.
It's like totally makes me happy. So yeah, there's a fun game for you to play at work. You're working from home.
I don't like
home.
This game at all.
You don't like this game at all. It's not fun. DanaLash.com. I'll have some more stuff up there for you this evening as well. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, which I send out like sparingly, but it's usually when there's good stuff. And I have some things that I'll be sending y'all out some info. Have a great night. I will be back with you tomorrow when we have Roger Stone.
The Dana Show.